You're listening to Fatal 4-Way Radio on the World Generation Podcast Network. Portions of this broadcast have been pre-recorded.
World Generation Podcast Network presents Fatal 4-Way Radio. Starring Rancho Punk Rocker, Albert Infected, Peacemaker Kanye West, and the Swami, Christian from Philly. Brought to you in part by Pro Wrestling Planet. And now, your host, the resident heel, Minister of Sinister.
Welcome to the show, everybody.
Oh my gosh, what happened?
I just bombed the fucking intro completely. I had myself on.
That was crazy. Did you? Were you on mute?
I was on mute, but I was still playing the sound effects like an idiot. But yes, welcome to the show.
That's awesome.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, freaks and geeks. And if you are listening, you are one. So thank you very much for joining us. Kanye West is here with us. Give it up for Kanye West.
You're and watching also,
and also give it up for the Swami, Christian from Philly.
Don't clap yet, ladies and gentlemen, because thank you. It's too kind. But, you know, I have breaking news to start the show off. I have some breaking news.
Are you talking
news?
About Kevin Owens?
Is it breaking
yes.
news?
Well, wait, before we do all that, though, let's welcome one more guest to the show, and that's Ricky, who's sitting in with Kanye West at the compound.
That's Okey-Doke, my little Ricky. Yeah, it's your Astros analyst that doesn't watch wrestling.
Hey, so I had big-time problems getting on the air tonight. Big-time problems. Poured a sip of beer on my laptop, and my mouth started getting really crazy and shit. I had to shut it down, dry it up, shut it down, restart it, and I didn't know if I was going to make it on time. And then I did get on time, and everything was so cool, and I was being so fucking cool and professional, mind you, because we are supposed to be professional, I was being fucking cool and
we're
professional.
We're supposed to be fucking professionals. I'm acting like a professional.
Yeah.
Am I the only professional?
But then I totally fumbled the intro. Even though I was here and ready to go, I had myself on mute. So it was a huge, huge fail on my part. And I'm sure that Albert would be eating it up right now if he was here. But he will be here shortly. So let's get to, I believe, Christian from Philly said he's got some breaking news. Is that correct?
Breaking news?
Breaking news with Christian, from Philly.
Ladies
and gentlemen, this is Christian from Philly, the motherfucker who gives you motherfucking breaking news. I have the biggest scoop of the century here tonight. It's a big scoop. Kevin Owens' contract is coming up. Yep. Kevin Owens' contract is coming up in January 2022. That's a few months away. But guess what? He's not the only contract that's coming up. Earlier than expected, Sami Zayn's contract is coming up this fall, motherfuckers.
That's you. Oh, I love that idea.
Don't forget that Finn Balor's contract is also coming up in December. That means They can lose three big names in the fucking company in the span of a few months, ladies and gentlemen. That's Sami Zayn, Finn Balor, and Kevin Owens.
Nice.
And they're all pointing to the signs of AEW.
Yeah, Kevin Owens loaded on Twitter, or uploaded, or whatever you want to call it, tweeted the coordinates of Mount Rushmore, latitude and shit, you know, longitude of Mount Rushmore. And, of course, he was in a faction with the Jackson boys. What's their name? The Young Bucks. And
yeah, the Young Bucks.
Who else was in that?
Adam Cole.
Oh, yeah. Adam freaking Cole, baby. So, and he said, you know, that we're getting closer or something like that. So, yeah. Now, it was initially thought that his contract was going to be expiring next year at the beginning of the year, 2023. But no, in an update, we've been told that from Wrestling Inc. that it is this year. So, shit, man. And, you know, I picked a great time to rent a pay-per-view. I am still fucking, you know, I'm still high from that pay-per-view. I don't know if it was the pay-per-view or the weed, but nevertheless, I'm still high
hell
from
hell.
That pay-per-view. Holy shit. It was a hell great hell. Pay-per-view, and I was so glad that I rented that thing or bought it or whatever the hell. I can go back and watch it. I've already watched it. I'm on my third time already now of checking it out. So, but anyway, kudos to AEW for doing a fantastic job with this pay-per-view. Yes. Anybody want to say anything on that? The possible signings, future signings of AEW? Kevier?
I mean, at some point, I would think that they would run out. Maybe they wouldn't run out of money to sign these people. But how expensive is it going to be to hire, like, more and more WWE talent and keep everybody competitive and stuff? And then, and really, I mean, if they can do it, that's really only three more people, so I think they can do it. But... like, what's it going to do to WWE? They're going to – I wonder if WWE is so huge that they'll never fail or if there is, like, a certain amount of failure that could take them down.
Well, I'm sure there is a certain amount of failure that can take them down, but it wouldn't take them completely down, I don't think. At least it wouldn't be immediate. Unlike the Taliban taking down Afghanistan, you know, immediately after, you know, the United States left, and they didn't do a good job of it, and they're turned into a clusterfuck. I don't think WWE would do it that bad. But it is great news, though, for fucking, you know, fans like me, fans that have been dying for something to happen. I've been saying that there's a revolution coming, and, I mean, by God, it's fucking here. It's fucking here, man. I mean, this shit that I witnessed Sunday night, well, I'm glad that I did. I'm glad I tuned in. And you know what? I wouldn't have tuned in if it wouldn't have gone on the Fight Network. If I was going to have to jump through hoops and go through fucking Bleacher and hook up my computer to the TV and all this shit, I was probably not going to do it.
And it doesn't work.
Yeah, I wasn't sure I was going to do it. You know what I mean? And then they said it was going to be on Fight, so I just downloaded the app on my Roku and, you know, bought it, and fucking there it is, you know. And it was great. I didn't have not one break. Now, although on WWE, I've only had transmission or feed problems one time. I don't remember which pay-per-view it was. I think it was the one after WrestleMania. And that was it. All the other times I've had clear pictures. But still, I had a great picture, and I had
money,
a great time watching it.
Money in the Bank was a disaster.
That's the one. Yes, that was the one. That was the one. But, yeah, man, big news to open up the show. And, you know, Kevin Owens' contract now. Finn Balor, I'm hearing, is also up, coming up in the fall, according to Christian from Philly.
December.
And then Kevin Owens coming up right around the corner in January. So, wow.
And Sami Zayn.
And
Sami Zayn.
Sami Zayn, too. Wow. When is his up? Do we know? Do we have a date on that?
No. His is up in fall. Finn Balor's up in December.
Ah, okay. So thank you for that
personally,
update, Christian. Yeah?
Personally, I think this is great news. I think AEW is what we've been wanting as fans, you know, as, like, older fans, and it's more for, like, they're doing the things, they're doing the storylines that we want as older fans, and it's not like a generated machine to where people are, like, writing storylines and, like, everybody's failing. So it would be fucking awesome if Kevin Owens went over there. And do they have the money to do that? I think to start off, maybe no.
I would imagine that they do.
The fans, all the fans of Finn Balor, all the fans of Kevin Owens to go over there, and even Sami Zayn to, like, go over there, money would be more generated into that company, and they would become more of a bigger thing. So
I'm interested to know.
I love it, personally.
Right on, Ricky. And I'm interested to know how many buys they had on the and how much of a increase there was from past pay-per-views. I know that I saw part of the scrum. They call it a media scrum. And by the way, I got to look into this with Albert. They're providing media scrums now, so we definitely need to get some World Generation media passes. I mean, if there's a chance that we can get in, you know, like if there's an event in Philadelphia and
yeah.
Christian happens to go to it, I mean, if there's a chance he could get backstage and stand there and ask questions. I mean, what the hell?
Oh, I'm not going to ask them questions. I would just go home after a pay-per-view.
Well, you wouldn't want to go back there and fucking hang out with the guys and shit?
Christian might fuck around and get a job for AEW, right?
He should.
Head booker. He would shit on all of it.
I'd be bad. I think, Christian, if I started a wrestling company straight
I'm kidding,
up,
Christian. I'm just joking.
No, real talk, if I ever started a wrestling company, Christian would be one of the first people I would go to help me.
I've heard Christian's phone calls, like, he'll talk to Kevin and I'll hear him talking and he's just like, man, I would have done this, done that better. I would believe in Christian to be a great writer.
Yeah.
What do you think, Christian?
Yeah, especially if what happened on last night's horrendous abomination of a show. I would have written it better. I'm
right.
Yeah. Speaking of last night's show, going around the campfire has it that Vincent Kennedy McMahon was not at the show. I'm thinking he was probably still reeling. He was still hung over from that fucking party, from that AEW party the night before is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, but you know what?
He got all fucked up about it. He went and ordered two bottles of fucking scotch.
He spent the day at home Googling how to buy AEW.
Oh, man.
But you know what? It just proves that even though he wasn't in the building, the show last night was still fucking an abomination.
By the way, guys, I also wanted to bring up this simple fact. That we had a good increase in ratings for our after pay-per-view shows. And I have to wonder if it was, you know, everybody was like waiting for this shit. Like, everybody's been fucking waiting for this shit, and now here it is. And apparently there's going to be more coming, you know, to AEW. So, I mean, right now, it's like the shift of power is definitely changing. It's definitely changing. And there's a new lion in town. You know, there's a new fucking lion, and he's going to go after the big lion because eventually that's what happens.
Last week I said that, like, the only show I really care to keep up with is Raw, and I didn't even watch Raw yesterday, guys, because AEW was good, and I was just like, I don't really care.
Bro.
But I didn't watch it, but I'm familiar with what went down.
Well, don't worry. I'll tell you all about what happened last night in the report.
Yeah, but we're not going to waste too much time on that shit. I'm telling you that right now. We have reindeer games to play. We're not going to waste too much time talking about fucking Raw. It was an abomination, like you said. But listen to this, guys. Yesterday, for example, I wasn't even going to... The only reason I watched Monday Night Raw last night was because Miss Kitty Teixeira came back from her little mini vacay, her little extended weekend and shit. She came back and, you know, and she was coming back at the time that Raw was going to be here. So I, you know, spent time with her and shit last night and we watched Raw and stuff. But if it wouldn't have been for that, I would have gone to the studio. Fuck it. I could watch it on highlights. Yeah, I could fucking watch the fucking highlights on YouTube and have enough just to know what's going on.
Yeah.
So talk about on the show. I'm not going to fucking waste my time on Raw. I already told Kitty Teixeira that too. We're not going to watch Raw anymore. We're going to watch, if we're going to watch any wrestling during the week, it's going to be AEW. And if we're going to watch any fucking WWE, it's going to be SmackDown, and only because Rampage follows it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, I mean, because Raw is fucking shit.
It was
this fucking
horrible.
Tag team shit they did last night with a bunch of inconsequential tag teams.
Yeah.
You just want me to get it over with right now, real quick, just to get it out of the way.
Yeah.
I mean, what the hell? It's highly appropriate at this point. You know, it's highly appropriate.
Right,
but
so,
the only problem I'm having is why my shit isn't
right,
working.
So play,
no, I don't need you to tell me
play
to play your theme. I don't need you to tell me
all
to
right.
play your theme. I'm getting to your theme. I just got to juggle it around, okay? You'll get your fucking...
And now, ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the Swami Christian from Philly with this week's WWE Report. Swami?
All right.
So this Raw last night was a fucking abomination, ladies and gentlemen. They had one chance to do a decent show after a phenomenal pay-per-view like All Out, but they failed. They shat the bed. First off, we had a bullshit tag team turmoil. Now, let me tell you something about this bullshit match, right? Seven teams were advertised for this tag team turmoil. And, spoiler alert, none of them fucking won. None of the teams that were advertised for this match fucking won. You know who won the tag team turmoil to face RK-Bro for the World Tag Titles next week? Fucking Bobby Lashley and MVP. Both men who are not even in the tag division, and one of them is the world champion. So this tag team turmoil was a waste of fucking time. It was a waste of 3 hours. They started the show with this match, and because of double interference, they saved it for the main event again. So this whole tag team turmoil was a waste of fucking time, and the seven teams who were advertised in this match didn't even fucking win the match to begin with. So that's already a start off. To this whole
it was a
show.
Bunch
like
of horse shit, bro.
False advertising. It's like, it just pissed me off because it's something that, like, the idea on paper sounded exciting. I was like, okay, cool, so let's get a tournament. Let's get something like this from WWE. And then I saw the teams, and I was like, this is going to suck. And then it ended up like that, and I was like, I can't believe they did this. You know, like, I was just like, what the fuck are they doing? They blew it. This was their chance to have a post-WrestleMania Raw, you know, to make this, like, everybody says that's the best episode of Raw. They should have made this fucking episode of Raw better than that, and they shit the bed super hard.
I think it comes from being, like, the fattened, like the over-gluttonous, like, monster that WWE has always been, and they're going to be like, oh, well, like, it doesn't matter because we have all the stars. So what I like about AEW is that the stars, they're like, man, fuck this. I'm going to AEW, and I'm going to go fucking wrestle and have good matches. And that's what I like about this, as opposed to it being like a head. So like Eric Bischoff back in like the WCW days, it being like a head of somebody, like the stars are moving to another company. And that's what I dig about it. I like that.
You know, you're absolutely right. I mean, look at me. I mean, here I am, a big star, moving to that company as well. You know what I mean? I mean, like, it's the same shit. If you want to believe I'm a big star, if you want to believe I'm a big star, that's fine and dandy. But, yeah, I mean, look. The same thing has happened with me, man. I mean, I have also shifted my focus to AEW. And frankly, I would have been a damn fool if I wouldn't have ordered that pay-per-view the other night. Because I would have missed out on all this shit. You guys would have been fucking talking about it, and I wouldn't have known shit about it. And here I'd be still fucking hung up on fucking WWE and shit like a sick puppy. But no, you know what?
Yeah.
Fuck that shit. I'm not even going to fucking give any time to Raw. And like I said, I wouldn't have done it this week had my chick not been coming home and shit from her extended weekend. And you know what I mean? And that's the only reason. It's because I had to be here to greet her. You know what I mean? Big Daddy got to be here and shit for his girl. But anyway, I digress. I wanted to say real quick, Christian, and he had to fucking know that Bobby Lashley and fucking what's-his-face were going to win this shit. And I wouldn't be surprised if they don't win the fucking titles next week through the pay-per-view and then, you know, or them get it back. Because they're over here, trademarking names and shit and copywriting names and shit, RK-Bro this and shit like that. So they're probably going to do this for a while. I expect them to have, two or three runs with the titles during this short time if they do it. And it'll probably go on for a few months now, at least through WrestleMania, and it'll be you know, Orton versus what's his face versus the Bro at WrestleMania is what I'm thinking.
Matt Riddle, yeah.
So
then we start with the other match, Charlotte Flair versus Nia Jax. I don't know how they did it, ladies and gentlemen, but it was somehow worse than last week's fucking match. Bullshit, fake shoot fight. You know, because last week was a real fight, they decided, well, let's do a shoot fight, a work shoot fight. Make it. No, this was fucking stupid. This was a horrible match. It was nothing. By the way, this was for the Women's Championship. And the match was over. Nia Jax lost. Like obvious she was going to lose. And Alexa Bliss is now the next opponent for Charlotte at Extreme Rules for the Raw Women's Champion, just like that. No contenders match. She just points at the title, and that's it. That's how she gets her title shot. Fuck this feud. Fuck this gimmick. And Charlotte Flair looks so miserable. She looks so unhappy. You could tell in her face that she's not happy at all. She looks so miserable. She looks dead inside.
But you know, mommy, and by the way, she says like mommy, okay, like a mother, mommy, okay, instead of mommy, you know, because it's actually short for mamacita, you know, so it's mommy, right? But she says it like mommy, like it's a mom. And she was fucking talking about El Idolo and how her dad went over there, you know, to Mexico to bring him in and shit. And she actually wrote that shit, like, on Twitter, mommy. And he was like, mommy? And it was so cute. And then I'm like, oh, girl, come on. But I digress. Anyway, you gotta understand with Charlotte Flair, man. Sorry?
I was saying, don't gatekeep language, bud.
You got to understand with Charlotte Flair, man. And this whole Nia Jax thing, they were trying to fucking outdo what they did last week, which was, you know, a match gone bad that turned into a fucking real shoot. And I don't think it worked too well for them.
No, she just looks miserable.
I like their first match. I want to watch that match now and see what the second one was like. But it makes me think, so do you think that Alexa's going to win in Extreme Rules and hold the belt into Hell in a Cell in October for the Halloween show or whatever?
Or is she still...
There is no
Hell in a Cell. Hell in a Cell already happened.
Yeah. If you remember correctly, last year they did their Halloween show at... or it was like a scary show. Remember what was that show they did last year?
I know what you're talking about.
Horror show.
Yeah, there you go. That's some shit. What pay-per-view
was
that?
Yeah, you're right. I'm tripping.
I don't know. 2019.
But do you think that they'll go with the Halloween gimmick? Do you think that Charlotte loses this match and Alexa gets the championship with Lily and goes in as the champion during Halloween?
I don't know. It's a lose-lose situation regardless. I mean, that's another title reign that means nothing to Charlotte and Alexa Bliss. I hate this fucking gimmick. Like, this gimmick doesn't deserve a title shot. She's done nothing to deserve a title shot. All she's done is just go and hang back in catering, talking to her stupid doll.
Yeah. And while her style has changed with her character, like, I don't like it. She was a better wrestler before this silly gimmick. Like, I don't like how she's wrestling now. I liked how she wrestled when she was with Bray, like, but now, like, she's just working the gimmick way too hard, and it sucks.
But didn't she pin Charlotte on her first night after she won the title? Didn't Alexa Bliss pin her clean in the ring or some shit?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
Maybe. At some point, I'm sure.
She beat somebody in the ring. She beat somebody and then like she went away for a couple of weeks or whatever. We were suspecting she had COVID or some shit, and then she came back.
No,
yeah, I think she beat Charlotte.
She beat Eva Marie. She beat Eva Marie at SummerSlam. That's it.
All right.
I've never seen Alexa. I can't think of a time when I've seen Alexa and Charlotte wrestle. And Charlotte's so much taller than Alexa. That's going to be weird.
I wouldn't care. This Extreme Rules pay-per-view is already looking like dog shit. Next was the most total disrespect that anything that's ever happened in last night's show. You talk about disrespect.
Damn.
This one was so disrespectful. And I know maybe Minister didn't even notice this, but this was trending on Twitter. Jeff Hardy came back to Raw last night, and now he's part of the 24/7 crew.
Oh, no.
A former world champion who gave his body for this fucking company. TLC matches, Hell in a Cell matches, ladder matches, a three-time world champion, and he comes back from COVID, and you put him in the fucking 24/7 group for the fucking 24/7 title? Are you shitting me? This is a fucking disgrace. This is a disservice.
That's crazy.
Let's go straight to...
He's
going to
be the one to take out Reggie.
Expected to get his thoughts on Jeff Hardy now being a part of the 24/7 chase, if you will.
Well, I apologize for being late to the show, guys, but work called tonight.
I was glad to have you. I got myself settled.
Grab myself a club soda, and I'm here. I'm here for you guys. Anything you guys need, I've got it for you.
Thank you.
Anyway, I caught Jeff Hardy's cameo right the other night, and it was because that's pretty much all it was a fucking cameo on Monday Night Raw, and I'm pretty sure we were talking about this, how badass AEW was. I'm sure you guys already got to this. It's already like 25 minutes into the show, but. I was pretty upset with it, and I'm not even that big of a Jeff Hardy fan, but I respect the guy, and dude, that guy should be fucking circulating on the top end of Raw. He should be, you know, at least in the world title picture still, and he's not, and, you know, I was talking about this on a forum earlier, that, you know, WWE seems like they're, not only are they punishing their superstars, they're also punishing the fans, dude. I mean, like, really, that's all I got to say about that, really. It's pretty disappointing.
Yeah, but, you know, there's a time when the fans turn on them. Like, here I am. You know, you missed it. You got here a little late, but let me refresh you. Let me catch you up here. If it wouldn't have been for Kitty Teixeira coming home last night from her trip to Beeville, I would have been at the studio. I wouldn't have been watching Raw last night. That's the only reason I fucking watched it. It's like, after that pay-per-view with AEW, I mean, you know, I got AEW now. AEW's in my life. You got the Bunny. You got Britt Baker. You got Thunder Rosa. The Fabulous Kitty Teixeira. Well, she's not there yet, but I digress. No, but listen, man. AEW's where it's at right now. And my focus has shifted. I'm sure a lot of other people's have. And I'm just dying to see what the ratings are for that pay-per-view. Christian.
As a lot of fans, too, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of fans, like, when I attended Monday Night Raw a couple weeks back here in San Antonio, you know, you heard rumblings in the crowd, too, like, oh, he's going to go to AEW, or, oh, I'm going to check out Dynamite. This week. People just around the crowd in general were just talking about AEW and how much better they're doing right now. And, WWE's backing themselves into a corner. And I mean, we've been talking about this for a year and a half. We've been back on this show. That they haven't been living up to fans' expectations, and they're turning at an alarming rate. You know what I mean? Like, I was one of them. Remember, like, when we first started, and even back then, back in, like 2017 when we were doing this show, I believe, I was one of their biggest defenders. I was like, dude, just give it time. You know, give it time. Let the storyline pan out. And I guess I was kind of in denial of how much they were fucking sucking. And
I was in denial up until just last week. I feel your pain. I mean, shit. I feel like a weight has been lifted from my shoulders. You know, like, fuck. Holy, I've been watching this shit. Now I got this other shit. It's better. It's different, but it's better. It's different, but it's better. And I'll explain that later on as we get to that. But welcome, Albert.
There's one last thing.
Yes, we're already doing the WWE report because it was shit, and we just want to get it out of the way.
There's two last things. One of the second last thing about this in this report is the fact that The Rock's hometown, Miami, Florida. You know, Miami, Florida. When you hear that, you hear, oh, man, this crowd's going to rock tonight. Nope. This crowd was fucking dead. This crowd was crickets. They piped in crowd noises. is like ever since they went back to live audiences, the fans have been fucking dead every week. To the point where, what the fuck's the point? You might as well go back to the Thunderdome at this point then.
Well, see, that, yeah, exactly, too. And going back from a live experience, too, going back a couple weeks ago when I was at Raw, dude, we were all just, like, sitting there with our feet up, man. Like, we were just sitting there and just people were just drinking beer, talking amongst themselves, and just watching the show. There was nobody really into it. We were just there just to be there. Like I said, it was still a fun experience to be there, and it's cool to check out the pyro and the lights and the production and stuff, and even some of the superstars, but... Like, it was just, dude, people were just fucking literally just chilling, and there was no electricity in the crowd whatsoever.
That's crazy. It's always been, I've been to several events, and this was, like, the last events I went to were probably, like, 5 years ago.
Yeah, it was before that.
But still, like, even then, I mean, Houston was always lit, dude. The crowd is always, like, loud the whole time. Maybe it's just me. I'm hype at a wrestling show.
This is before AEW.
It's depressing to hear this and to, like, realize that's what's happening. But they're not giving him anything to pop for, dude. Like, I was barely still trying to pop for Drew McIntyre and people like this. Like, I don't give a shit anymore. That's it.
Yeah. I mean.
And the last thing on the report is that's the end of Raw, by the way. But last week on SmackDown, right?
No, wait. I wanted to talk about Raw just one last thing before you move on to that SmackDown.
Okay, go ahead. Okay.
And here's the deal,
ahead,
bro. I noticed last night something that was very disturbing also, was that they're doing the Moist TV segment and also the Alexa Bliss segment, which they have been doing that in the back now. And the reason they're doing that is because, you know, the crowds are as dead as they are. They still go in there and they hijack their shit. Like, you know, Morrison gets very uncomfortable out there, especially when he doesn't have The Miz leading the way. And it was very evident last week during his Moist TV. You know, he gets uncomfortable out there, and he's not the only one. You know, Damian Priest also, who's a rookie. And, you know, all of a sudden the crowd starts fucking chanting something, and instead of focusing on what he's supposed to be doing and what he's supposed to be saying, instead he's looking up at the crowd, and he's amazed that they're fucking actually hijacking his shit. You know, he's like looking like a fucking like a deer in the cross lights and shit.
They got way too much to memorize. There's a lot of pressure going on out there because Vince McMahon's gonna get pissed off, the producer's gonna get pissed off, they fuck something up, and it's not organic anymore, you know.
And so now, you know, I'm thinking that the weaker guys are going to be doing their promos and shit in the back because, you know, Moist TV was in the back last night. Anyway, I just wanted to mention that, and I'm glad that I remembered. Christian from 30, you're up, baby.
Yeah. So, the travel bitch, again, bearing talent, putting the shovel. Again, he does nothing. He doesn't talk. He's boring. He sits on his ass until the end of the show where he has his match. He doesn't do anything. Then we come to the match. The match between Valor and Roman doesn't even start until the fucking Usos, the goons, because that's where they're relegated to, beat up Finn Balor before the match, making Roman even more weak because, you know, Roman can't beat Finn Balor fair and square. He has to get his cousins to beat up a scrawny Finn Balor, but whatever. Finn Balor loses. Match was boring. I couldn't care less. But then you hear a sudden heartbeat and a red flash. That's right. The demon's coming back. Demon Finn Balor's coming back. And he's going to get buried by Roman too. Roman's going to bury the demon too. Because he's burying everybody. He's buried Cesaro to the point where he's getting beat up by fucking Otis, by all people. He's buried Kevin Owens to where Kevin Owens is getting fucking mocked and beat up by Logan Paul, of all people. He buried Daniel Bryan so bad he left the company. Roman has not put anybody fucking over in his feud at all. He's buried everybody. How is this good business? How is this making stars where you're burying everyone and you're making only this fucking guy look good?
Well, they think that it draws heat. They think that it draws heat, and it does, actually. It draws heat to the company. It doesn't draw heat to Roman, because who's going to be around to beat him? People, like, they have, like, that old-school mentality still sometimes, you know what I mean? As much as they don't like to say it, right? The producers are like, oh, let's get this guy some heat. And there's a new way to get heat in the digital age, right? And Roman Reigns is one of those guys that gets heat in the digital age, right? Like over the fucking internet where it's like, oh, this guy can't wrestle, he can't talk, let's push the shit out of him because he has heat in this day and age. It's a different type of heat than what it was when Roddy Piper and Macho Man were getting heat in the 80s. It's different now, but their tactic is, let's get this guy as much heat as possible. That way, you know, when somebody does beat him, it's like a huge ordeal and the fans pop, you know, but it's not working properly because at the same time, they're burying the talent.
What about you, Kevin?
Yeah.
Do you think the Paul brothers are going to be in the Hall of Fame one day?
I don't know, but if they are, WWE can go fuck themselves.
So stupid. It's just really stupid. They're like,
who?
Like Logan Paul and the, like, what the fuck is the other guy's
name? Oh, it's obvious.
Oh, yeah.
Going to be in there. They're definitely. They're going to be in the celebrity wing. Right? It's obvious.
Yeah.
They're going to be
Kevin,
in the Hall of Fame one day.
So, Kevin, what's
but,
stupid?
They're stupid, and it's just weird that, like, WWE, it makes sense because they are fucking popular, but they're, like, they're so
who are
stupid
they popular
and crazy.
With,
so,
they're,
like, the most popular YouTubers, bro. They're like the most famous YouTubers.
Wow.
And they're, like, and now they're UFC fighters, basically. But, but it's
yeah,
not
they're doing a lot with
that stuff. I mean, numbers-wise, they have the most YouTube followers and stuff like this.
That we're seeing lately? Are they the ones doing that shit?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're huge. They're huge stars. These guys are just as big a star as somebody like Bad Bunny, I would say. But
yeah,
it's stupid, like, to have these, and it's to not. I don't know. It's just not working. I don't know what's stupid about it. I can't put my finger on it, but it seems like a waste of money and a waste of time for sure.
They kind of like want to do the whole thing where they're doing like the UFC fights and celebrity boxing matches and WWE and all this stuff too, and they're just going all over the place making appearances of different combat sports, you know. And I mean, I guess it's just their kind of shtick right now, but I don't know. Like Kevin said, it is kind of stupid.
Okay. So when was the last time WWE worked for each one of you?
Like you were fans for last
like,
year?
Like when was the last time,
well,
like
too long ago,
over the past couple of years or whatever, it doesn't have to matter, like the past 2 years, when was the last time WWE meant something or it was like, oh, shit, that was fucking amazing?
Yeah,
I mean,
2016.
17, you said?
No, 16.
16.
And that was actually good.
I still personally enjoy the Royal Rumbles. It's like my favorite match of the year, as is a lot of people. I will always watch the Royal Rumble no matter what. And I think AEW needs their own type of Royal Rumble because, I mean, yeah, they have the Casino Battle Royal. It's just not the same. I think they did something very similar to the Royal Rumble, especially with the roster they have now and with surprise people from Japan and Impact and Mexico and stuff, it would make for a very good show.
Hell
but,
yeah,
the Royal Rumble, getting off track there.
So I think I was a fan earlier this year. I think whenever Drew won WrestleMania, I was still a fan. Like, definitely, I've always backed these guys up. But no, the last, like, few weeks, I've definitely gone back and forth over the last, like, 2 months of shit that they've done. Like, one week I love it, the next week I hate it. And sometimes it's just meta, like, if that makes sense. Like, I like how much of a shit show it is. Like, that's what I like WWE for now, is that, like, I can't believe they did
that's
this.
That's crappy.
You can ask Christian. Like, he'll call me, and I'll just be like, he'll tell me what they did. And I'm just like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I like
it.
That it makes
like,
Christian angry.
It makes sense. Like, I believe they would do some dumb shit like that.
And they do.
Do you think it's more because of, like, the older writers are still in there trying to, like, do a formula, or they're just trying to, like, find their bearings again?
They don't have older writers. Like, they have all new writers that get rotated out all the fucking time. You can't keep a job as a writer.
What they need is they need writers who are wrestlers. They really don't need writers. They really don't need writers. This writer shit is for the birds. What they need is just wrestlers, old wrestlers telling them, this is what you're going to do. Okay, and then giving them some bullet points. Three bullet points.
Kevin
Sullivan,
man.
In your promo, I want you to do these three things.
Yeah. They need Kevin Sullivan. They need William Regal. They need you're right. They need all those old school guys. The bookers is what they need, not writers. They need bookers. You know what I mean? And Kevin Sullivan's one of them. Dusty Rhodes, but even rest in peace. But you guys got William Regal. They need a Dean Malenko. They lost him. You know, all those guys who understand the business and how to make a good product the way fans want it. Now, I will say this. Go ahead.
It doesn't matter because guess what? Even if they write a great script, Vince is going to still write it up. He's going to tear it up, and they're going to tell him to make a new one anyway. It doesn't fucking matter. All their hard work means shit.
Yeah, I agree. But and another point that I was going to make there, too, is that like some of these guys, man, are going out there giving it their all. Name the AJ Styles, dude. Because, when like I said, going back to this, is my only reference point. It's really the only time I watched the full – I didn't even watch the full Raw when I went to the live show, but – when AJ Styles went out there, dude, like, he was giving it his all. And he's out there, dude. And, like, when he took a bump, you heard it. When he fucking flipped over the top rope and landed on the fucking floor, you fucking heard him screaming. You heard him you heard every fucking hit that AJ Styles did. He was out there fucking 110%. And that's a company man, dude. And he was doing it in spite of all the other shitty fucking products, dude. That man could still fucking work, dude. He was out there. You heard the fucking bumps throughout the goddamn arena. And when he was out there, dude, everybody was getting into it finally. And you probably didn't hear or see that on TV. It was like a quick segment with like Omos and shit, and I forgot who else, but you heard it, dude. You heard it throughout the arena. And they need more of that, too. And they need a little bit more of everything. But AJ Styles, I'll give it to him, dude. Like, he's out there fucking trying day in and day out, shitty storylines, everything else, dude. He's out there fucking bumping, flipping, and fucking selling it, dude, and he's trying, and I give him that.
Right. Yeah, but you know, as great as AJ is, even he can help a big stack of shit like Omos. Even he is limited. Omos is fucking awful. He's awful in the ring. He has
so
no
like,
charisma.
I don't think you can judge Omos so harshly though, bro, because like he's thrown into this position. This always happens with the Giants, where they have Giants that aren't trained well enough, but they get pushed fast because they're big as shit. So, like, it's
yeah,
not this guy's fault that they didn't develop him better. Ron admitted, too, when Braun got started wrestling, when he got called up, bro, he admitted that he had only worked, like, a handful of matches and that he was, like, still super green and was learning, like, while he was on Raw and SmackDown. So, I think they do it all the time with these guys. And Omos is, like, pretty awesome. He doesn't look great. He doesn't look like he can do it right off the bat. You know, he's not naturally gifted at wrestling. But the big man stuff, and if he can just move around a little better, I think that he could be good. It sucks how they're booking him now, though. It sucks having the team up and, like, making – it makes us hate him. It makes us hate the product, everything they do, because we're smarter than that.
Yeah.
And they treat us like we're not.
Well, there's a lot of rumblings, too, and I want to, like – talk about that for just a minute is the fact that there's a lot of, like, WWE guys – a lot of, like, producers, I don't know where I saw this, but maybe I read online. It could be true, couldn't be true. They were criticizing AEW for putting on a bunch of people that weren't ready for TV, and that AEW does nothing but, you know, put people on that aren't ready for television, and yet here is, you know, WWE, all they fucking do is put people on sometimes, like Omos and a few others that aren't ready for television. So I don't understand what the argument was.
You know what AEW does too? You know who those talent, those people have been indie wrestlers who have been cutting promos on YouTube and cutting promos with their friends and loving wrestling too. So that's why when they do get on TV, you get Fuego del Sol's and you get like just all these different characters that are like new people that are interesting and shit, because they've been doing the shit that the WWE wrestlers aren't even fucking really allowed or encouraged to do.
Like, look at that guy that escaped from the mental hospital and shit.
No, NXT's development where they teach you how to work like a WWE wrestler. Like, you do a scripted promo and bullshit like this.
So basically it is time for a newer faction. Or, like, it's already happening. But it is time for something new to happening again in pro wrestling.
It's happening.
It's happening.
You want to know Adam Cole's fucking positioning if he stayed in the WWE? You want to know what they wanted him to do in the main roster, gentlemen? They wanted him to be a fucking manager.
Yeah. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Well,
that's former NXT world champion. He's a fucking vanilla midget. What do you expect?
He's not a vanilla midget. He's fucking more than that.
Just kidding. I can't wait to see his work, man. I saw his interview after AEW that he did in what they call the media scrum backstage, and it was Tony Khan and people from the media asking questions. And
he sounds like a real genuine dude.
Can you just let me fucking talk, bro?
I'm sorry, bro. You're breaking up the audio thing. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, you're always breaking up too. But anyway, now I forgot what the fuck I was saying.
I'm sorry, bro.
just be mindful of that, bro. People are trying to talk, you know, and I mean, you just keep interrupting and shit.
Anyway, WWE
has been a sinking ship lately because they've been giving out pink slips, and some people have been just getting away from them, like Adam Cole and Albert Inspected, who joined us late. Let me catch you up. Also, Kevin Owens, we broke the show with Kevin, with Christian from Philly, dropping some Kevin Owens news. His contract is coming up when, Christian?
It's coming up January 2022.
Oh.
Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn is falling and fall.
And who else, bro?
Sami Zayn's contract coming up this fall, and Finn Balor's coming up this December.
So there you go.
Not to renew.
I'm sure all three aren't going to renew. The whole thing about Adam Cole, we talked about it about 2 or 3 weeks ago, that they didn't know that the contract was expiring. And I saw the media scrum after the AEW, and he actually mentioned that, how, you know, they didn't know. It was a surprise to even him that his contract was expiring so soon. He thought it was expiring at the beginning of the year. And so it caught everybody by surprise. So can you imagine? He also gave credit to Britt Baker, Dr. Britt Baker, by the way. Dr. Britt Baker.
DMD, my friend.
DMD, yes.
DMD.
Doctor of Dental Medicine. No, wait. Doctor Medical, something like that. Doctor Medical and Dentistry or something like that. Anyway, how she was responsible for getting his family to the show. The guy probably found out. The guy got the call from them. And shit. And he had talked about how he was a great friend, and he had been to several shows, and he watched every episode on TV, even, of AEW. Well, you know, his chick is over there and stuff, too. Anyway, so he talked about how he was a fan of it, and I was like, totally surprised. The guy seems like a real genuine dude. Never once shit on fucking WWE, so that's a plus. You know, he can go back over there sometime to make the money when the well runs dry over here at AEW, because eventually, you know, things shift. And but, man, I'm just hoping to see this guy. I haven't seen him yet. I haven't seen him wrestle or anything. Adam fucking Cole. So I'll tell you what, guys. With that, we'll take a fucking break. We'll regroup, and we'll come back. Cole, Danielson, and Soho become elite, and my future on the show has come in question. So we'll be right back after these words on Fatal 4-Way Radio.
You know it's all about the show! Everyone breaks in the impact. The rally for rules you pay back.
for a wild show about your precious Dallas Cowboys? Check out the Puro Pinche Cowboys podcast, Season 2, coming soon, only on the World Generation Podcast Network. Stay tuned for more. Puro Pinche Cowboys! Puro Pinche Cowboys!
Sinister, and I'm sitting here with Rancho Punk Rocker, Albert Inspected, Peacemaker, Kevye West, and the Swami, Christian from Philly, and also joining us, Ricky. What's going on, Ricky? How you doing? You still with us, bud? You still hanging?
I'm still kicking it.
Yeah, kicking it with Ricky, dude.
Kicking it with Ricky.
Yeah.
Actually, let's see if I got it here. Let's see. I think I might have the one. Let's see here. Do I have it? What is this? There you go. Ricky.
Ricky. Is that Bad Bunny?
No, I don't have it. I don't have the track lyric. It's just that's just a
well,
lot.
Well, I feel a whole lot better if the Astros were leading into the ninth inning, not going 3-2, Mariners up 3-2.
The
yes.
Astros report
bang,
from
bang.
Ricky
Hobbit. Adam Cole, baby.
But we
can
get back to the wrestling. No,
we're getting the Astros hijack again
on
of a Fatal 4 Radio.
We all shit on WWE. So now let's just
what,
shit. Let's just talk about how great AEW was.
Oh,
and
real
that,
quick, guys.
My show, my future on the show is come in question, guys. That doesn't mean the show cannot. That does not mean the show cannot continue. You know, because I know that you know Christian from Philly is fully capable of running the show. You know, he's done it before. He's had other shows.
Taking a Bob Barker
here.
Right?
You know, I know Albert. Dude? Albert tried it. He struggled with it, but you know, here's the deal, guys. Steel Panther is looking for a bass player. You guys know who Steel Panther is?
Yes.
You have to bust out your spandex there, Chuck. Your leopard spandex.
Yeah, baby.
I grew up on hair metal. I love it. Chuck, you did work me, actually, bro. I was buying that. I was like, what? Chuck's not going to do the show anymore?
It's not done yet, bro. I got to send the audition into them. I got to send that. Now, I don't have a bass, but I have a pedal, an octave pedal, because my bass was stolen from my storage unit. But I have an octave pedal that I can turn my guitar into a bass. So I got to record a little something to send to them. And, you know, if I get the gig, which I'm sure I will, you know, I'll have to, you know, take time off and, you know, go be a part of Steel Panther.
You think they're not going to know you use the octave pedal?
Are you skinny? Do you have a wig?
No, I'm not. I'm
Do
not
you
at all.
And have a wig?
That's what's funny. And I mean, I could get a wig, but I can grow my hair out too, baby. I'm all about it.
Here's a better idea. Sell me your octave or pedal.
Oh hell.
Just sell me that pedal I need.
That you would love.
I want it.
It's called the Dirty Robot, and it does. It turned my guitar into a synthesizer, bro.
I love it.
Look up the review on.
You're gonna sound
online,
like
Rick. Look it up, bro. It's a badass video.
You know who would be good for Steel Panther would be Rick Boogs, dude. They should get Rick Boogs in there with a bass guitar.
Man.
That's why Elias burned his guitar, because he's learning bass so he could go play with Bull Steel Panther.
Why can't we – Steel Panther's doing this gimmick. Can we just do another gimmick like Steel Panther and be that hot?
I'm telling you, I want to do a wrestling
cover. Would you be hot if you just do the gimmick?
No, I'm saying can't we just do it?
Without being hot.
Yeah, no, and can't we just do Steel Panther – or not do Steel Panther. We'll start a different band, and it's like an other like 80s revival.
Yeah.
We won't be called Steel Panther, we'll call Steel Dragon.
But we're not.
Oh, wait. That's a Mark Wahlberg movie. My bad.
Hey, Chuck, I'm down for that wrestling cover band, man. We would make bank from wrestling the weekend booking some shows.
Yeah, go to some shows and just fucking set up shop out there, you know, and, you know, and do some wrestling covers, man. And people come out of the show all drunk. And if they still got money, you know, because $8 a beer inside the shows, you know. Or sometimes even more, 16.
Yeah, 16
for the big tall ones, man. I mean,
Can you even bring it to yourself to like write those riffs? Like, can you like? I don't know if I can write an 80s riff anymore. I don't think I have. I don't think I ever have. I think the 80s riff
can write an 80s riff. I can write an 80s riff pretty good, actually. I think. But
it's something you got to be born with.
I got to study Eddie Van Halen, and then I got to rip him off.
I was just so glad I got this pedal, man. The guy wanted $124. I got it at $100. And you see them on eBay for like $175, and a Guitar Center no less than $150. You know, so
I
think I got a good deal for $100. Yeah, because I buy all my pedals used.
Yeah. I give you $75
bucks
for it.
Real quick.
Stop it.
I got a surprise.
You don't come pick it up.
I've got a surprise for the next call. I just shared this to a bunch of groups. I was late on my promoting tonight. I just shared it to a bunch of groups. I was like 16 groups that I shared it to, you know, wrestling.
Wow.
And, you know,
not that anybody will call, but hopefully they will.
Yeah, well, I'm going to say this. You know, we got the new Pro Wrestling Planet shop up. So it's storefrontier.com/pro-shop. So next caller gets a free shirt of their choice shipped to you worldwide. So if you're listening right now,
what's the number?
619.
What's the number?
0835.
You're
the other. 619-924-0815. And that's the number for the next caller. How about this fucking Adam?
You know what? Turn on that light.
Sounds kind of like 90s, late mid-90s, I guess, late 90s, something badass like
that.
Got that
Rage Against the Machine kind
of
vibe,
that type of vibe.
It sounds badass. It sounds good.
I love it. But yeah, man, we had Adam Cole. Wait a minute, we still got birthdays and shit. Let's see.
No.
What birthdays do we got today? We'll run through them real quick.
AEW.
Nine, 7. We had Molly Holly today. She's the only one. Then we have Raven tomorrow and Brian Pillman Jr. on the following day, the 9th.
What a boss.
John Pillman. Morocco, 1949, September 10th.
Where's he now?
Which one?
He's in AW.
Yeah.
We're just talking about Brian Pillman being the straight hoss.
Yeah. Oh, Trevor Murdoch, our new NWA champion, September 10th.
Yeah, yeah.
1980. That's a big old badass boy right there, man.
Woo! Big old boy.
Paul Heyman.
Boy, thick.
September 11th.
Happy
Paul Heyman,
birthday.
Just a few years older than me. He's like 3 years older than me. That's it. He's a badass, man. You know this guy? He used to go to the fucking
Roman,
shows as a
you
teenager.
You shouldn't have gotten me this cake. Thank you so much
about,
for this cake.
What, Christian, what do you think is going to happen with this whole thing? Now the tribal bitch, as you call him, is he knows that, you know, that fucking, well, what's his name called him and shit? Roman Reigns was calling, or Brock Lesnar was calling
Paul Heyman.
Paul Heyman, thank you. Roman Reigns was calling Paul, or Brock Lesnar was calling Paul Heyman on the phone and shit, made Roman Reigns to even think he was in the building, which we all knew he wasn't. We all knew he wasn't.
Yeah.
But he could have been. He could have been, but he wasn't. But what do you make of that?
Yeah. Nothing. Who cares?
Who's
I don't care
end
about
up with who's going to end up with the big prize Paul Heyman on their corner? Brock Lesnar's going to turn on
Roman.
He's going to turn on Roman or what?
No, Paul's going to stay with Roman because Roman's still going to fight The Rock at WrestleMania as a heel. Fucking Roman, yeah. He's going to stay with Roman. Why would he stay? Think of it this way in a business sense, right? Why would you stay with a guy who's not going to even be here part-time, who's not going to even show up weekly? That means you won't
yeah,
show up fucking weekly.
Yes.
Would you will? That's stupid. No, he's going to pick Roman because he's there every week. So he's going to pick Roman.
You know
what
would be
Lesnar. Good? Lesnar was a fucking quitter. He left kayfabe-wise. He quit the fucking WWE because he lost against Drew McIntyre. Why would fucking Heyman associate with himself with a fucking quitter?
Well, I don't know. Brock's like one of the best wrestlers of all time, maybe? Like, they're all...
No, but still, I think... You know, Paul Heyman wants to be a heel, and he doesn't want to be a babyface, and Lesnar's a babyface, so.
What would be cool is, like, a moment where, like, so Paulie stays with Roman the whole time, but then, like, before Brock's match, you just see a backstage segment where Paulie's, like, patting him on the back or, like, reassuring Brock for his match or something. That would be pretty cool.
Wait. I want to go back on that. Like, do you think Brock is one of the best wrestlers of all time?
Straight up, dude. Brock Lesnar's one of the best pro wrestlers of all time. Straight up. I dare anybody to argue that point.
Why?
He's one of the best technical wrestlers of all time. He's the fucking best physique of all time. He's got one of the best movesets. He's got, I mean, the charisma side, like, I'm happy with it. I don't give a shit.
His physique is better than Dusty Rhodes' physique?
Oh, Dusty Rhodes.
Wait, what?
No. Dusty Rhodes is not as cut as Mr. Brock Lesnar. He eats a pound of steak every day. He eats 10 pounds of steak for breakfast. And Dusty Rhodes likes his ice cream. And
I might not have the best physique of the wrestler these days.
Anyway.
But, baby, I'm bad.
I digress. I'm just saying. I thought that would be cool. But also, the real question is, who do you think got Paul Heyman a better birthday present? Was it Roman Reigns or Brock Lesnar? What birthday present would that be?
That's a damn great question there.
What kind of present do you get from Paul E?
I love it.
Brock's like, hey, Paul, I decided to pay all them guys that you stiffed from ECW for you.
Guys, let's...
Tommy Dreamer's like, happy birthday. We saw him.
We had a light day on history as well. There's a few other birthdays, but Baron Corbin, September 13th.
Woo-woo!
Angelina Love. September 13th, Penelope Ford, who was on the AEW roster, September 14th, and that's it for birthday. Well, happy birthday to everybody. Right? See, Christian, I told you we were going to get through this quick. Now, let's take a little vote, because, you know, I perused the news earlier, and honestly, there's not really much anything on there that, you know.
What, the history?
Yeah, the history, I mean.
I got one.
All right, lay it on us, bud.
Did you know on this day, Bret Hart is secretly a King of the Ring winner? Secretly? He's technically a King of the Ring winner, but this was off air in a live event, so it wasn't televised.
Right.
Wow.
So
pretty awesome.
There were like a little bit of big people in this King of the Ring tournament, right? There was Ricky Steamboat, there was Ted DiBiase, there was Undertaker, and Sid Vicious and Bret Hart.
This was 29 years ago. Virgil.
Yeah.
Was also in it.
Jim Duggan.
Yeah. Go ahead, Christian.
Yeah, so the Ricky Steamboat and Ted DiBiase match ended in a no contest. It ended in a draw. So that was pointless. The Sid Vicious versus Undertaker match ended in a fucking DQ. So they were both eliminated. They both got DQ'd because they both attacked the referee. So there was a lot of buys in this fucking tournament, ladies and gentlemen. This was no wonder this wasn't televised, because if this was televised and if this was a pay-per-view, this would have been the worst King of the Ring tournament you have ever seen, with fucking DQs, buys, and fucking no contests. Thank God this wasn't televised. And, you know, I'm kind of glad Bret Hart is not a fucking King of the Ring winner. He's technically one, but he's not a legit one. I'm kind of glad, because this sounds like the fucking worst King of the Ring ever.
What's that?
Hello?
Did you ask me a question? What did you say? Did you ask me something?
No,
I was
just finished speaking.
Oh, okay, cool.
Okay.
We did a shot real quick.
So if Dusty Rhodes was alive today, where would he be? Where would he be booking? Where would he be writing?
What kind of question is that? He's in AEW, bro. His son owns the company. Both his son owns. What are you talking?
No. He'd be waiting for his contract to expire with NXT. As soon as his contract is gone.
Cool.
Either that or obviously
yeah,
he'd be working for AEW. You know.
They were still trademark Dusty Rhodes Classics though.
Okay, here's another little question. It's just a small question. What do you think Ultimo Dragon is doing right now?
I don't know, in Triple A?
Yeah. Still doing
I'm just
Ultimo
wondering.
Still
that,
he probably does like.
I'm wondering what Stone Cold Steve Austin thinks about this.
Well, I wrestled Ultimo Dragon one time.
What?
I wrestled him at the Dallas Sportatorium there when I was stunning Steve Austin and. I fired up, you know,
what?
Normal baby face match. I fired up and he put some heat on me and I,
what?
And then I did a double turn and the crowd popped, you know, and, I pulled out a steel chair and I pulled out a barbed wire 2x4.
What?
And I pulled out a light tube, pulled out a bag of thumbtacks, shot.
Yeah.
Pulled out a steam wiser, cold beer.
Yeah.
Anyway, Steve, you got to go. Hershey the Wonder Dog was out there, came out there, put the shine on him, and then he brought the plutonium.
I need to listen
to more Steve, because there's a lot of Steve-isms. Like, if you listen to his podcast, he says stuff like that. He'll say put the shine on him a lot or stuff like that.
He's one of the dudes, he, like, lives the character all the time. Like, he's never going to be anything other
than
Steve
Austin. He's just a badass, dude. He's just a straight badass. I was watching clips from him where he was just walking around the ring, and he was, like, walking around the ring better than anybody I ever seen walk around the ring. You know, I was, like, I was marking out for the way Steve Austin was just walking.
Where do you get them? Where do you get them tight jorts? Like, do they still sell tight jorts?
Steve, I don't know, but Steve Austin is good. Steve Austin's good and all. Steve's great and all. But his shows are fucking garbage. His fucking USA show is fucking trash.
Oh, man, I watched one episode, and that was all I needed, bro, to know that I did not want to watch it again.
Hey, just let him make a buck, man. Why y'all pissed
off?
He's trying to make a buck.
Oh, I understand, and that's exactly why I'm going to give him a pass for those fucking cold call commercials.
Speaking of Netflix,
I'm sure you guys heard the rumor. They're not the rumor, but the confirmed announcement of the Halloween flick that we're going to get on Netflix, starring The Undertaker and The New Day.
What?
It's coming out October 5th. They're putting out a movie on Netflix. It's going to be an interactive movie where you, like, click on the remote, like, what choice you want The New Day to make. And it's called Escape the Undertaker, and you're going to go through The Undertaker's mansion as The New Day and, like, try to solve this mystery and get out of there. Is that the wackiest thing? The craziest? Is that, like, not a, like, a fever dream kind of, like, that
it
sounds...
It could be cool.
I'm excited.
It could be very cool.
I'm excited for it.
My inner 9-year-old is like, yeah,
I'm excited
amazing.
For it, but it's going to
be fun. But my 33-year-old ass is like, nah, that's going to be whack as shit.
If WWE does something like, we talked about this before, though, and I think Albert might have been with me on this, but if WWE leaned harder into, like, becoming more like a movie thing, if they did book their characters,
you know,
then, like, larger than life like this and cross platforms and make, like, more things where WWE superstars seem like big, crazy personalities like this, it could be
like
a good direction for them to go versus then how AEW's going now. Like, I think them making better movies with the wrestlers playing themselves, like, or like a cinematic universe featuring the WWE wrestlers could be really cool.
So you playing cricket?
Yeah.
But they would have to. Sorry.
Yeah.
Have we gone on into the
ether? We discussed something like that before, I think.
Yeah.
You said,
but I'm down for the Undertaker movie. Like, I'm excited to, you know, play along with that. I mean, it's a way to keep his legacy alive. You know what I mean? He can't go in the ring anymore. They're going to keep him alive any way possible.
Can we have an option of just have the Undertaker just capture the New Day and just let them just get fired?
Yeah. Like, you found my secret room, the AEW room. And they're like, oh, no. There's, like, a contract in there. They're like,
what?
Do you sign the contract or do you leave the mansion?
Dude.
What are the odds that Undertaker has a match in AEW in, like, 2 years?
Pretty high.
It wouldn't surprise me.
That would be the only way we'll ever get the dream match that we wanted.
It's not like Mick Foley going to TNA back in the day.
We need to get to AEW, guys. I'm having fun, but I know these guys want to keep it on track too.
He doesn't match. He doesn't match those with Stardust.
Yeah.
He does a match with Stardust. Holy shit. On AEW.
No, the only,
real quick,
the only thing
like,
I
what if they made other interactive WWE movies? Like, what if they had, like, a movie where you're Baron Corbin and you're, like, trying to, you're, like, making decisions on how to get your money back? Or, like they just go all balls to the wall with it, and they're like, you play as Drew McIntyre, recovering your legendary sword from the dragon, from the Loch Ness Monster's mouth. Or
I've watched very few movies from WWE. I saw that one with Triple H, which was the worst, or one of the worst ones, with Triple H and the little girl from the Modern Family. And it was fucking horrific. Triple H was terrible. Yes, that one. Thank you, Christian. And then also I've seen one. Okay, I've seen the one with John Cena. Not the Marine, but I think maybe one of the others was it was not good, but it was not so bad.
Fuck.
WWE,
but this is different.
I've never
this
seen
is more like
a Kane
a,
one.
This is more like a video game. This is like choose your own adventure where they'll give us choices and we choose what the New Day does in the movie.
Yeah. So I understand that. And check it out. And then the one thing I've never done for WWE and I played some video games from them and shit, but I've never read one of someone's books. And recently I was reading some Chris Jericho shit where he was having some memories, and I think they got an excerpt from one of his books where about a fight with Vince McMahon and somebody, Kofi Kingston.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kofi Kingston told some shit to Vince McMahon, or Vince McMahon told Kofi Kingston some shit, and then what's his name told him that Chris Jericho told Kofi Kingston, you got to go in there and challenge him to a fight. And the fact that they threw each other around and shit, I mean, I was like, holy shit, I got to read some of these fucking books. Is there any books that you guys can recommend to me? Have any of you guys read any of these books, honestly? Any books that, you know, have some back shit, backstage or, you know, behind the scenes shit like that?
I don't read. I don't know how to read, and I refuse to read. All my information has always been gotten from television. So
I read the Rock book. Yeah. I read the Rock's book several times. The first Rock book, The Rock Says or whatever, I've read that like 3 times. And then Mick Foley's book I read like twice. And this was like years ago when I was a kid, but I did read them and I was like super into them. And no, it's been a long time since I've read them because I guess I found out about wrestling podcasts and you don't have to read the shit. You just listen to JR talk about it or whatever.
You know, talk about wrestling books. You want to talk about terrible autobiographies. God rest her soul. China's fucking book. Have any of you read her fucking book? It's fucking horrible.
Was it a ghostwriter or something like that?
I think she did it, but either way, it doesn't matter if she did it or the ghostwriter did it. It was fucking terrible. It was awful.
Well, obviously, I won't put that one on my list.
Yeah. But no, I've always heard Jericho's book is like one of the best wrestling books. I've definitely heard that before. And
yeah.
I guess he's written like 3 different ones, but I think the one I'm thinking of is A Lion's Tale. They say that that's like one of the best wrestling books you can read.
I'm going to check into Half Price Books.
I especially love the part.
See what's available.
I especially like the part. I like the part where Chris Jericho had a physical altercation with Goldberg in the book.
Wow.
Yeah.
Over what?
Yeah, he talks about he put Goldberg in a headlock and Goldberg couldn't get out.
Because Goldberg, listen, the whole thing about Goldberg and Jericho, right? Goldberg's a fucking asshole, okay? He's
yeah,
a fucking asshole in real life.
Please,
back then in WWE.
Fucking
you all remember...
Vibes.
Yeah, do y'all remember the angle with Jericho and Goldberg in WCW? Goldberg didn't understand the fucking business, and he thought it was all jokes. Like, the whole angle was making fun of him. And he went up to Jericho's face and saying, you better cut that shit out. Like, did he really thought Jericho came up with this fucking idea? And then in the book, right, it talks about when Goldberg calls the WWE, he fucking thinks he owns the fucking shit. He thinks he fucking owns the fucking locker room and he's a fucking asshole. Goldberg's a fucking asshole, everybody. He's a dickhead. He's a dickhead.
Wow. And this is in Jericho's book?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Fucking A.
He's an asshole, bro.
Shit,
Goldberg's an asshole.
Oh, I believe it, man. That guy just gives me bad vibes. I mean, didn't you tell me he was choking out his own son?
Yeah, just to stop him from fucking smiling and not selling Bobby Lashley's beatdown. He literally choked his own son to stop him from smiling. The guy's not only is he a lunatic, he's a fucking asshole.
Did y'all hear about that shit?
Really? Christian called me up and told me about that shit a couple of weeks ago. And I was like, really?
That's at the end of at the pay-per-view? That's at the very end of the pay-per-view?
Yeah.
He chokes him?
Yeah, he chokes him on the floor to make sure he stops smiling and sells the fucking beatdown. He says, the kid says, why are you choking me, Dad? It's because you're not selling, boy. You're not selling. I had to stop you from smiling. So not only is he a lunatic, he's a fucking asshole.
And he fits right in Texas now, doesn't he, Chuck? He moved to Texas and he just fits right fucking in. You're not selling, boy. Boy, you're not building that heat right, boy. Boy, get me a beer, boy.
That's pretty crazy. But yeah. So it came down to well, we need to talk about the Astros.
Oh no.
We have to talk about the Astros.
Are they being booked poorly?
Yes.
They're both in the
Dusty Baker took the hottest bat out of the lineup and we're down 42.
Make it like compare it to like a wrestler so that we understand. Could compare it to something wrestling, use a wrestling metaphor.
Okay, so it's like taking Stone Cold.
Like taking Adam Cole and sending him to AEW.
Yeah. Like Adam Cole to AEW to wrestle because he's the hottest one at the one time. Yeah. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. They shouldn't. Dusty Baker did horrible.
Dusty Baker
did horrible at taking Myers out of the lineup.
Listen, baby. Dusty Baker tries hard out there. The people love Dusty Baker.
He had a grand slam last night. And he had two runs batted in the night before.
Isn't it ironic, though, because there's a guy that they do Ric Flair chants for the Astros, too, right?
Yes.
What's his name?
Woo! I don't know if they do Woo for any Astros fan.
What are you talking about? They have, like, a guy on the Astros, Chuck. What's his name?
You're talking about he's no longer on the Astros, though.
He's not on the Astros anymore?
He's not anymore,
Josh Reddick, he's gone. He's dead now.
Jeez.
Am I wrong, Chuck? Why'd they take Myers out?
We can't talk Astros. This is a worldwide podcast. Not everybody likes the Astros.
They took him out because they brought in Marwin.
No, they took him out because Chaz McCormick was healthy again.
Yeah, these guys
have badass wrestler names, actually. What's his name?
Chaz McCormick.
Hell yeah.
What's the other guy's name? Dusty Baker?
Dusty Baker is the manager.
They sound like a killer tag team.
Yeah.
Right? McCormick and Baker? Baker and McCormick?
I'm sorry. I digress. I'm pissed off because my team is losing.
We got a lot of good stuff. They whipped the shit out of them last night. We have to talk about the good stuff. We have to talk about the highlights from AEW. There's highlights from the pay-per-view that have to be discussed.
Is that what you're saying?
We're doing Dusty Baker, and if he's not on AEW, then I don't really care about him.
Dusty Baker's on the Astros.
He's the Roman Reigns of the Astros.
No, he's not the Roman Reigns of the Astros.
And now, the resident watchdog, Christian from Philly, with AEW Weekly.
What the fuck are we talking about here? What are we talking about? Were we talking about the pay-per-view? Talking about highlights?
Well, we could talk about anything AEW, basically. Holy shit, they captured my heart, bro.
All right.
We got Cole Danielson and Soho become elite all in one.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And I mean, why not?
Right.
Why not do it like that? I mean, fuck it. You know what? You know what it seemed like to me, guys. It seemed like, you know, they were just adding to the cast in public. Like it didn't. Like, don't get me wrong. And all three of them were great. But it really didn't seem like they were, you know, overdoing it. Some people were questioning it on wrestling forums and shit. And, you know, and you're always going to have armchair bookers and shit. But, man, I thought it was, you know what? Fuck it, man. We're updating our cast. It's that time of year, you know, when we fucking start fresh, you know, and fucking, and that's what they're doing. And they're just adding to the cast, you know, and we had Cole come in. And his fucking theme song, I fucking love. And he went out there and, you know, it was a big tease and shit. And the next thing you know, he's a bad guy. And because why wouldn't he be? And then we get Danielson come out. Man, that was fucking badass. That was fucking badass. He went out there and then his after promo that he did, I don't know if you guys saw that or not, but it was killer. To send the crowd home happy, you know. Talked about, you know, why he came, and he gave credit to Jericho. But before all that, Soho came out and won the right to get the title match. I didn't want to leave that out, so let's go ahead and mention that. All right, but then Danielson was out there, right, to send the crowd home happy, and he fucking says, you know, he gave credit to Chris Jericho, you know, because he left, you know, to come, you know. Before anybody knew it was going to be anything, he fucking left. and he fucking, you know, and he went, you know, to go look for greener pastures and shit. But he gave him credit right away. He gave credit to who else, Christian?
Well, before that, he said he really loved the last place he was working with. So he wasn't burying the company.
No, I'm not saying he was burying the company. He also did not bury the company, just like Adam Cole did not bury the company at all. You know, and I don't blame them for not doing that because they left when their contracts expired.
There's a difference between
leaving when your contract expires, whereas leaving the way CM Punk did. CM Punk is still fucking talking about all this negativity and shit. He should just let that shit go. He would be a much happier man in his fucking day-to-day life. But unfortunately, he chooses to fucking hang on to this shit. And fucking, it's affecting him, obviously.
CM Punk kind of reminds me of the Ultimate Warrior. You know, how he was doing things in the late 80s, early 90s, just disappearing for like 7 years. Yeah, and coming back, you know, and WCW, you know. It's good. I see the parallels. I see more so parallels between CM Punk and the Ultimate Warrior than CM Punk and anybody else from the past.
Interesting.
But here's the difference. CM Punk at least could do good matches. Ultimate Warrior would.
You're right about that. You're absolutely right about that. But no. Anyway, he's back now. I'm glad he's back because the motherfucker can fucking he's full-time entertainer and shit. But I wish he would just let that shit go. He sounds like a fucking record out there. But Bryan Danielson didn't give any props to was Miro, who also, you know, showed up early. And so I'm just wondering if, like, when he got backstage and saw Miro face to face, he was like, dude, I'm sorry, and brought him in for a fucking hug.
Well, he can't because Miro's a heel.
No, but I'm talking about backstage, you know. He's like, dude, I'm sorry. Oh, you're saying he couldn't acknowledge him? Oh, I see.
I'm pretty sure, but he can't thank a heel because, you know.
You know what? And you're absolutely right about that. I don't know. Albert, did you watch the media scrum that they have out there available? They call it the media scrum, AEW All Out Media Scrum. And there's a video. It's a two-hour fucking video. At the end, they're selling, because it's Adam Cole is doing an interview with Tony Khan. And then Adam Cole finishes the interview. And as he's finishing the video, Bryan Danielson is coming in. And they make like a scene, but the camera does not shoot that. So you don't know what's happening. But like they make it look like something might be possibly happening between Cole and Danielson and Tony Khan. It's like, well, you know, they're professionals. He's a professional and shit, you know.
I didn't see it. I didn't see it, but they look interesting. So I'm going to have to go back and check them all out because they look like, I don't know, like something that WWE should be doing, you know, like a UFC type post-match media.
We talked about that.
It's a New Japan thing, how they do all their promos is they set up the table and then the guys will go up to the podium and cut their promo one after another. That's always so badass when they do that, dude. That's my favorite.
Like NBA or something, right? Like a professional sports team.
Uh-huh.
Like any big-time event, like any boxing event, they set up the curtain that says, you know, AEW. Like if we had one for us, all right, it would be, you know, our logo multiple times on a black sheet, you know. Small and shit, and you're standing there and you're doing a fucking media interview and shit, and that's what they're doing, and I love that they're doing that. And why the fuck isn't WWE doing that? Why the fuck don't they have their fucking precious tribal chief on fucking Jimmy O'Connell or whatever the fuck it is, on NBC after the fucking nightly news and shit like that?
Who the fuck is Jimmy O'Connell?
Whoever the fuck his name is.
Dude, I think he was mixing Jimmy Kimmel.
The little cocksucker that comes out on fucking...
Adam Holland.
That replaced Jay Leno. That guy.
I was expecting... I was expecting Chuck to be like, oh, why can't they put Roman Reigns on that old Johnny Carson show? You know, he'd be good on there with me.
Yeah.
Hey, no, instead I called him Jimmy O'Connell. But anyway,
Jimmy O'Connell,
what's his name?
Jimmy O'Connell sounds like an NXT UK wrestler.
speaking of NXT UK, that's another thing. Speaking of NXT UK, Roman Reigns and the Usos and Big E are coming to Raw temporary for September, towards the end of September, because Drew McIntyre and Jinder Mahal are going to be touring in the NXT UK for a while.
Boo.
So,
Jinder Mahal and who?
Drew McIntyre.
Boo McIntyre.
Well, I can understand Drew McIntyre, but why the fuck is Jinder Mahal in NXT UK tour?
Because from there they go to India, baby. And it's all about the money.
Yeah, but who gives a fuck about Jinder Mahal?
Hey,
but
don't see that Virgil
why the fuck
don't they put
Roman Reigns and shit on, you know, Jimmy O'Connell show and shit and stuff like that? Like, only
Jimmy
O'Connell.
Okay, you know, I mean, they did John Cena. John Cena goes on those shows.
Because
he goes on Jimmy O'Connell, really?
Whatever the fuck his name is, bro, come on. Help me out here.
That's his name now. That's just a general term for
Jimmy
Fallon. That's a general term for all,
Jimmy all
the
Fallon.
Fucking late night TV show hosts combined. It's just like some fantasy dude that Chuck made up in his head. It's Jimmy O'Connell, like on
what about that
fucking channel, whatever.
Jimmy Kimmel. That guy.
Jimmy O'Connell.
He turned into a fucking Trump bitch. Trump was living in his fucking head rent fucking free. It was terrible, man. His show became
Jimmy
just a fucking Trump show. He was so focused on fucking Trump, his pussy was itching night after night. It was terrible.
It was funny. It was a funny. It was
not
funny
like Jimmy
episode.
O'Connell, though. That guy.
Jimmy O'Connell.
He
the Jimmy O'Connell was the best. The absolute best, baby. Jimmy O'Connell. And I'm not too sure he's not one of them Chris Jericho guys.
And what channel is Jimmy O'Connell on?
Hey, I resemble that statement.
He's on fucking channel World Generation. Dude, if I wanted to buy World Generation, the name World Generation, they want to charge $10,000. So I have to remain a podcast or a network.
Now, who?
What do you guys think? Should I just switch it to World Generation Network?
Who wants to charge you $10,000?
The owner of the domain. The owner of the domain.
And where are we going to get $10,000 from, Chuck?
No, we're not.
Yeah.
Off of our T-shirt sales at Pro Wrestling Planet
TV. You're going to sell on where? Where
Pro
are you
Wrestling
selling?
Planet
we haven't even had a caller yet. Callers, wake up. 619-924-0815 if you're listening.
We got to come up with more revenue streams here, guys. You guys need to put your heads together and come up with something. So we can get that domain. We need that domain. Or do we come up with a GoFundMe and get Jimmy O'Connell on board?
Oh, fuck the domain. We don't need that goddamn domain. They could take that fucking domain and stick it straight up their ass. We'll be the World Generation Network and fucking fuck their World Generation. We're going to pull
a bake sale. Let's have a bake sale.
Buy our merch.
No. We'll have a toy sale. We'll sell all our toys. I got a few figurines. No, what are they? Bobbleheads of Jose Altuve and shit that I can sell. I got Jose Altuve. I got Justin Verlander. I got all them fucking bobbleheads. I'll fucking sell them. Fuck them. I don't need them.
I'm not getting rid of my toys, Chuck.
Come on, man. So where are we at? AEW.
Yeah, we have Ruby Soho debuting too. She wins the Battle Royal.
Yeah.
And it's gonna be Ruby. I'm just gonna call her Ruby Riot. I'm sorry, Soho is a terrible name. I'm sorry.
No, it's good. It's a Rancid thing, dude. It's tied to Rancid. That's pretty sick, actually.
I know, bro. I don't like it. Ruby Riott.
That's also her theme song. That was cool.
Caller,
I think he's the record.
Yeah,
definitely.
784, you're on the air with Fatal 4 Radio. Oh, the caller hung up.
What's that?
Damn
it.
Yeah, we had a caller, 832-74. Was it Jaime, I wonder? Do you have his number?
You could have won a T-shirt.
They have a show on the 18th. I got Jaime on the 18th, but I'm not going to be able to go. We have a show for my band.
Caller, 832, you're on the air with Fatal 4-Way Radio.
Yeah, I was calling in for the Free Roman Reigns T-shirt.
You don't sell that shit here.
This is Andrew.
Oh.
Yeah, I heard y'all had free T-shirts to give, and I've been listening to the show. I've been a long-time listener, and I want that Roman Reigns T-shirt.
Is it Andrew O'Connell?
Huh?
Is it Andrew O'Connell?
No, sir. I just listen. I love the show, and I've been wanting a Roman Reigns T-shirt for a long time. And
oh,
I thought y'all had a free one to give. Do y'all have a free one to give?
Andrew, where are you calling from?
Andrew.
Hey, Andrew, where are you calling from tonight?
No, I'm calling from San Antonio, Texas.
Oh, really?
Yes, sir.
Are you sure? Are you sure you're not calling from my front yard, Ricky?
No. No, I'm not calling from your front yard. What's your name again? No, this is San Antonio. I've been listening to your show for a long time. I'm a long time fan. And I just want that Roman Reigns T-shirt.
Yeah, are you sure? About that?
Wait a minute.
Yeah, we don't sell garbage. We don't sell that garbage here. We don't sell that garbage merch here, you know?
Kevin is cutting a promo on. Kevin is cutting a promo.
What?
Ricky, get your ass back in the house. I told you you're not allowed to go out after dark.
I don't know what you're saying. I just want that Roman Reigns T-shirt. I just want that Roman Reigns T-shirt. And I thought y'all would have one to sell, but if y'all don't, I can throw you a couple bucks. I thought y'all would have a free one, but I can give you about $5 for a Roman Reigns T-shirt.
Like, he's still working the Andrew guy. I know it's you, son of a bitch. I'm staring at you.
Well, if y'all, I heard there's free swag. If there's no free swag, then I should get off the phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh hell, I almost believed him.
He should have used a fake voice. It's a Ricky. Everybody recognizes the Ricky voice.
Oh.
It was a Houston area
code. It was all right. It was funny. It was all right. All right. So we. He wants that free shirt, though.
Nobody's getting no merch
in other news.
Yes. Kevin?
In other news, the Astros are tied right now.
Astros are tied, baby!
Yeah.
Baby!
Okay.
You know it's all about that life!
Yeah, so Adam Cole comes out. That was cool. But then right after that, we talked about this on the post show. But like right after that, like Daniel Bryan comes out, and I was like, I was like, Daniel Bryan has to come out right now. And then he came out, and it was sick. He was kicking the shit out of who was the guy that he was kicking? It was Nick Jackson, I think.
Yeah, Nick. Yeah.
He kicked the shit out of him, so it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
I thought he was Jungle Boy. Didn't he kick Jungle Boy, right? You're talking about who Adam Cole kicked? Wasn't that
Jungle Boy
he
kicked?
No, I think he kicked. Yeah, you're right. I was thinking Marco Stunt, but it was Jungle Boy.
Jungle Boy was the first guy he gave props to on his after speech to send the crowd home happy. And he mentioned himself. Yes. So, you know, we have what we have here. Is we have, you know, we have the young lions versus the older lions that are coming in. We have the lions that started this shit. Of course, led by Head and Chris Jericho, who's the ultimate fucking head lion. Yeah, and much props to Cody Rhodes, too, for setting the shit up. I mean, he got that shit from his dad, obviously. Fucking genius. Setting this shit up with Tony Khan. Holy shit. I would love to hear stories about how this shit first started. Where they met. You know, what CD bars they fucking met at and shit and fucking had drinks over and dinners and shit like that. And what they talked about. I would love to fucking hear that shit.
Real talk. I mean, those guys documented all that shit on YouTube the whole time, bro. Like, that shit's on all, like, Being the Elite or whatever. Like, if you watch the old episodes of Being the Elite, like, that's what this show's been for years. Is they're just,
I need to go do that shit.
They're playing gimmicks and they're being funny, but they're really documenting, like, a lot of behind-the-scenes shit. And so, like, the birth of the Elite and all that shit is on YouTube.
Wow.
Hours of shit that these guys have uploaded that you can go watch that's like behind the scenes AEW shit.
Man.
So yeah, check it out.
I'm impressed.
It's a rabbit hole. Like, it's cool to watch all that shit. But
I'm
being
impressed
the elite,
how
like,
far, with how far this company
being the elite
is, coming.
Is different. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, guys.
Yeah.
We have the prediction for All Out.
Oh.
For sure.
For sure. Prediction. Just give me the title. I know I won.
No. we're going to do fair and square. Are you guys
square?
Ready?
Oh, fair and square. According to Christian from Philly. From Philadelphia,
yeah.
Fair and square, really?
Yeah.
We're ready.
Yeah.
Did we get I can't remember. Did we get Albert on this one?
Yes, we did. Albert did do this too.
Gotcha.
This one, yeah.
Yeah, I think I won.
Hell yeah.
I wouldn't be too sure about that, but we'll find out.
Christian, do you all
right, so.
Stop.
Even if I don't all win. Right. I'm giving myself a free, even if I didn't win, I'm getting myself a free shirt from storefrontier.com/PWP shop.
Nice.
That's fine. All right. So to start things off, we go with the Kenny Omega versus Christian Cage match. Me, Minister, and Kev all got Kenny, but Albert picked Christian Cage. Albert, why did you pick Christian? We all got a point except for Albert.
Oh.
That's hard. Oh, wow.
I remember you were saying it was the dual champion thing. You were like thinking like it would be cool if Christian had two belts instead, and they just kept that as like a higher prestige thing.
That was the reason, but I also think it was the reason it was just, you know, going against the grain there, and you know, whatever. I'm anti-authority.
It was also that Christian kept voting for all of us. Christian kept saying, I'm just going to put us all down for Kenny Omega and stuff like that. And so you're like, no. I remember that. I'm really sorry. Breaking news, Jeff.
Breaking news.
The Astros are in the lead in the 10th
inning. Astros won 5-4 in the 10th inning.
Very nice.
Yeah.
But yeah.
All right.
Who won the predictions? We all picked Kenny.
I apologize for breaking
up. We're not done yet. All right. So up next is the CM Punk versus Darby Allin match. I picked CM Punk, so I get a point. Minister, for some reason, picked Darby Allin. He does not get a point. Kevin picked CM Punk. He gets a point. And Albert also picked Darby Allin. He doesn't get a point. So me and Kev, we're both from CM Punk's hometown boy.
My protege.
Why did you two thought Darby Allin was going to beat CM Punk at the pay-per-view?
I'll tell you why. I was thinking somebody had to lose. Somebody big had to lose. It was either going to be CM Punk, somebody big coming in. Was going to have to lose is what I was thinking. Either CM Punk or who else was coming in?
Daniel Bryan.
Daniel Bryan. We already knew CM Punk was coming in. Let's see, what else? Oh, yeah. And then we had the Chris Jericho thing. Either he was going to, either Chris Jericho was either going to leave. I was under the, I was like, somebody, something big has to happen. Either Chris Jericho fucking loses, and I compared it to Kiss and shit, and Ozzy Osbourne, how they have, you know, multiple retirements.
Right.
Chris Jericho, you know what? I was happy that neither of those things happened. Even though I was before the pay-per-view, I was like, something big like that has to happen. Either Chris Jericho has to fucking lose or fucking, what was the other scenario?
Here's something. To extrapolate on what you said about how you compared Chris Jericho to Ozzy and these guys doing retirements, this is the real thing about Chris Jericho. He's like Ozzy and like these rock bands. Like, this motherfucker is one of the best wrestlers ever, and he can tell these badass stories in the ring, and he can do this. And when you watch a Chris Jericho match, like, real talk, the one wrestler that I've popped the loudest for and, like, been the most excited to see was Jericho.
Same.
And he is like Ozzy and these fucking bands that are huge. Because not just because he's a rock star, but because it's like that experience to see him really tell the story and do a badass
match. He provides
match.
You with that.
If experience. I could mark out on that for a minute.
Yeah, like when I saw Chris Jericho, the times that I've seen Chris Jericho, it's equivalent to the time that I saw. I've seen Ozzy a few times as well, but it's equivalent to the time that I saw Ozzy with Black Sabbath. And opening up with Pantera and Sepultura and a few others.
I guess that's back when they got back together in the early 90s.
So it was in the 90s. It was in the 90s sometime. I actually think it was in the later 90s, but I'm not sure on the date.
I do know there was a Dio album that, like, they got back with Dio in the early 90s as well. And Dio fucking did great job. I always loved Dio. I like all of them. But,
But I mean, I love
that
shit.
We definitely
But no, I think that's the thing, and I think that's Jericho's thing, and if that's what he's trying to create, I think he's done it, because, like, the man has a badass legacy. And he also
I love the fact that this went from Chris Jericho when we were talking about CM Punk versus Darby Allin.
Well, you started talking about Ozzy.
Well, they were talking Chuck brought up Chris Jericho.
CM Punk and Darby Allin, I thought that match was fucking great. That match, to me, it was a story, and the story that they were telling was that, you know what, it was clear. I mean, fucking, they're telling the story that, you know, CM Punk is the guy, or Darby Allin is the guy that idolized CM Punk, while CM Punk is saying that he would, you know, likes what he's seeing from Darby Allin and shit. I expect these guys to get together. And then they had the binding of it, which is Sting. Okay, so I expect, because in AEW, I've noticed that there's different groups. They're all gangs, and it's like a gang, and it's a bunch of gangs and shit. And so I fully expect CM Punk to be in this fucking clica, fucking Darby Allin and Sting for a while until somebody turns on somebody.
I can see them. I know what you're saying there, Chuck. I dug the match because it was like a classic wrestling match. The very beginning was like a fucking classic straight up wrestling match, and
telling the story, bro, that he was more experienced than Darby Allin. Like, he even fucking Darby Allin did the coffin drop and CM Punk came up like a fucking, you know, ninja style and shit. He fucking came up and Darby Allin hit the mat. CM Punk fucking touching his fucking head and shit, you know, like, yeah, baby, that's the experience right here. I knew that shit was coming and shit, you know, and that's the story he was telling, Albert, you were saying?
I think, yeah, you're right. You're right. And I do think that there's going to be, I don't think they're going to be a faction, but I do think they're going to be a clique, and they're going to have each other's backs. And I think Bryan and Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus, they're all going to join up, and they're all going to face off against the Elite. You know what I mean?
The
Elite is going to be like the NWO of AEW.
Yeah, the Vegan Squad versus the Gossman. Yeah.
What is the Swami see?
All right.
No, it's going to be the Vegan Squad versus the Goth Kids. That's what it's going to be. But anyway, moving on. Yeah.
You already got a name for them? Is this one of your Reddit fucking deals that you do or some shit? Whatever the fuck? Discord?
No, I just come up with these. I just come up with these.
The Vegan
anyway,
Squad?
Yeah, but no, I do see them. I do see them, Daniel Bryan, CM Punk, being Darby Allin, and Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus kind of like teaming up. You know what I mean? But not necessarily being a faction. Just kind of like how like Sting, Luger, and Macho Man back in the early 90s, WCW were fighting the NWO. You know, the NWO is kind of going to be like the Elite now, and it's going to kind of go from there. And it's going to be cool.
I have a question, and obviously anybody can answer, but this question is primarily for, the Watchdog. Watchdog, do you think that guys like Sheamus and Drew Mack, guys like that, do you think they will ever fucking appear on AEW television?
Yeah. Why not? Brian Cage is on AEW, so why not?
I mean, I'm just wondering what you thought of.
Yeah, they will.
Even though
yeah.
They're WWE guys and shit. What about Triple H?
No,
he's
Triple H
so
wouldn't.
Let go on so unceremoniously.
No.
Look at his fall from grace. He has had a fall from grace.
But first of all, he would never show up in an AEW ring because, first of all, Cody Rhodes is there. Second, CM Punk is there. Two people that hate Triple H with a passion. So that's never going to happen, all right? That's never going to happen.
Never say never. It's an interesting business. CM Punk could wear out his welcome really fast too. He's that type of guy. You got to understand, Christian. It's all about egos.
Some of these guys
have fucking big, huge egos, and they're confident that they can do it without being a part of AEW. Because there's so much else out there right now.
Yeah.
I expect NWA to fucking come and make a fucking strong appearance here soon. Kevin, do you think NWA is going to maybe make a run for TV? Dude, all it takes is to get on the network. The CW or the Cube or, some fucking network. NWA gets on a network, hey, I'm watching NWA.
I think NWA would do better if they were syndicated, kind of like how Ring of Honor is. Like different networks, different times, but because that's kind of how they were back in the day, right? It was just syndicated television.
Saturday night at 1 a.m. and shit.
Yeah, it was just like whatever. Maybe not 1 a.m, but maybe like Saturday, Sunday afternoon or something like that, or like something with a little bit more, like, more of a prime time spot, but I see them being, like, a syndicated, like, just random networks across America, and I think it'll work good for them.
Yeah, I would love to see that.
All right, so moving on with the predictions. For the next one, Y2J, Chris Jericho versus MJF. We all get a point. We all said Chris Jericho. So, Minister, you're lucky. Albert, you're lucky. The next one was the match between Britt Baker and Chris Statlander. Of course, we all said Britt Baker. The next one is... Thank you. The next one is the Young Bucks versus Lucha Bros. Me, Chuck, and Kev do not get the point, but Albert's the only one who does get a point.
Albert.
Lucha Bros.
Hell
yeah. Albert with the point.
Now, there was one match in the prediction that we have to disqualify. It's Andrade versus Pac, so that's disqualified. Nobody gets the point on that.
But wait, it's coming
that
up,
promo
actually.
Sucked, too. That promo sucked, and Chavo sucked. Like, the guy that cuts promos for the Lucha Brothers is way better than Chavo. I don't know his name, but the guy that, like, wears the gloves and the leather jacket and shit.
Yeah.
That guy's cool. Chavo, Chavo sounded corny as fuck, dude. And like, and Andrade looked corny. Like it, but I'm gonna watch their match on Dynamite. That was the cool takeaway. Is I was like, at least they promoted. At least they promoted that there was gonna be a match on Dynamite. You know, so I'm gonna watch that.
Wow, I have to disagree. I rather enjoyed the promo with Chavo and Idolo.
I thought it was corny, man. I thought it came across, you know.
Yeah, and that's why I enjoyed it, because of its comedic values.
Yeah.
It was, to me, it was funny, you know, and yeah, I thought it was funny, like, in a ridiculous kind of way, that they're trying to sell this nonsense, you know, that... you know, they didn't do this shit.
I think a part of it is I think that Andrade, the way I thought Andrade should have been brought in, is like a number one contender. Like, he should be like in the number one contender spot. And because they're not doing that with him, I like hate whatever they are trying to do with him, you know?
What I like the most about Andrade, now that I've seen him and have been exposed to him in AEW, because I hadn't really been until, you know, the other night, but I like that he's wearing a suit and shit. I think that adds class. I like that fucking suit shit.
He's just a badass. I mean, he's a badass. He looks like a badass in a suit. He looks like a badass in the ring. He's just a badass technical wrestler. Like, I mean, I think that he could be really badass, but I feel like they're not pulling the trigger 100%. Now, especially that these issues with Pac happened or whatever, like, it's just slowed his momentum down, and I don't want to see his momentum burn down.
He's so badass. He's married to Charlotte Flair.
Whenever WWE bought Andrade, whenever he came in into WWE, he was like the hottest name in wrestling. Like, this guy was considered one of the best wrestlers in the world. And
he should be married to Nia Jax.
Yeah. What? Charlotte?
Yeah, but I think we digress. What is it?
All right. So up next in the predictions, we all get a point between the match between John Moxley and some Kojima.
Yeah.
So we all get a point.
We all get a point. Yeah.
Now, next
that was
one.
Cool.
Yep. The next match was Big Show versus Paul White versus QT Marshall. Me, Chuck, me, Minister, and Kevin get a point, but again, Albert, for some reason, picked QT Marshall to win, so he doesn't get a point. And for the winner,
honestly, I thought QT Marshall could have won that. I really did. Like, when he, no, really, I did. When he came out and shit, and then after I found out about his story and shit, you know, he's close to the business and shit. I was like, fuck, man, Paul White might just lay down for him. And I almost called you, Christian, to have you change my, you know, as well as the other one that I told you on your show that we did. What was it, after the pay-per-view? Sunday night?
Yeah.
Which, by the way,
Sunday,
you can go back and listen to on the archives. It was a great show, highly rated, actually. Fantastic job. Christian from Philly, thank you for leading the way on that. You were amazing. You were amazing, brother. And, yeah, it was a great show. So, yeah, you can go back and listen to it on the archives. And right now, we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and do the station ID before we go off the air. And if you've been listening to us on Fatal 4-Way Radio Live, which I don't know, you called in, but we had one caller. Anyway, I digress. Thank you so much for listening.
Boo.
Keep it real, keep it heel, and as always, you know the rest.
You're listening to the World Generation Podcast Network. Please like us on Facebook at World Generation or on Twitter at World Generation Podcast. And now back to the show.
Night. This is Chris.
Christian from Philly, and you're listening to Fatal 4-Way Radio, only on the World Generation Podcast Network. Get with it, bitches.
All right. Welcome back.
Yeah.
From Philly.
Yeah.
What were we saying, Ben? What were we talking about?
Yep. We were talking about the next match, which is the Women's Casino Battle Royal. We all don't get a point because we all chose Thunder Rosa, so we all don't get a point on that.
And through us for
now, the
match. Dog,
this
right?
is the one where I told you. I was like, I really knew that. I knew that fucking Soho was going to win. I should have called you. And because of that, I think I got to pull head lion here and get the point.
No.
Bullshit.
No.
We're going to have a lion standoff. You guys are going to call me out on this shit.
I mentioned it on the post show, but there was a cool moment in the match where whenever Ruby does enter the ring, like Thunder Rosa gets like a fire up moment, like right after that, like Thunder Rosa got a spot, like right after
yes.
Ruby got in the ring. And it like, and
yes.
then they told this story, like the rest of the match
lit
was
up
like,
the crowd.
And so it was awesome. And Thunder Rosa did super badass too.
Yeah. I thought the match, the last part of the match, bro. I mean, like the first part of the match, I'm not going to lie. I didn't even watch it. I was doing other things and shit. I was cleaning. I was doing this. I was doing that. And then, I started watching it when it started to matter. And that was when the last group of women was released. And from that point, I watched the rest, and I watched it intently. And I thought they did a phenomenal job. I think, I don't know about the women's division. I guess they need to add more women. But I think that they probably got a good look out of, you know, some of these women, and they just, you know, need to work on them and build them from there.
Yeah. Well, this is the big one. This is the make it or break it portion of the predictions. The extra credit question.
Get
ready, boys. This is a ride. This is a doozy. This is the first category, debuts. How many debuts do you think were on this pay-per-view? Doesn't get the point because he said one debut, so he doesn't get a
Stop
point.
It. I know I said there was more than one.
No, you said one. Kevin also does not get a point because he said two.
Two.
There was more than two. Albert does not get a point either because he also said two. And I get half a point because I said three. And that's closest to four. So I get half a point.
I said
that.
Three. I said three.
No,
I said
no,
three.
No, 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 no.
I went up Kevin. I was like, I'm going to Price is Right Kevin.
So,
here's the deal.
So I was the closest.
I think that if we all said, here's how I think we roll this one. Like, I said there was going to be one, right? There was at
yeah,
least
you don't
one.
Get
there was at least one, so I get a point.
No, Kanye you
said
didn't,
there was
going to
be
one.
Two, so he gets mm-hmm. 2 points.
Let me word that way.
What?
You said there was only going to be one debut.
So basically, it's a yeah. I know, so I should get 1 point.
No,
there
I like
get
your idea. I like your
one
idea,
debut.
Chuck, like,
how about this? Everybody gets half a point. How about that?
No. We do it my way, and we'll have a clear winner. And it'll be you.
I think it will be.
I'm not done yet.
I think.
Yeah. Okay, well then, but still, on this one, it will be clear that you will get, look, check it out. I get 1 point.
Uh-huh.
Kevye said there
Kevye
was going to be two. Kevye gets 2 points. Albert said three.
What do you mean he gets 2 points? Whoa, no. That's not how it works.
How many did you say were gonna debut? Three?
I said three.
So you
Albert
get 3 points.
He said three.
Okay,
you will still
right,
be
right.
ahead.
Yeah. Okay,
you will
go
still
ahead.
Albert
ahead,
says that he said three. Albert,
yeah.
You said three?
No, he didn't say three. He said two.
I remember. I might have said two.
No,
that went back
said
to
two,
though.
I have it down right here.
The Pepperidge Farm?
I remember a Price is Right conversation. I remember talking about the Price is Right, but I don't remember if I said one or two.
But the Pepperidge Farm.
Albert and Kevin said two, and I said three.
It's rigged. It's been rigged.
Ridiculous.
Let's just scratch it. Let's just scratch it all together.
Rigged. It's already been bastardized.
All right, so the minister gets 1 point. Albert and Kevin gets two, and I get three. All right, so that's final. All right, so the next extra credit question was returns. Minister, I put zero. I don't get a point. Minister says one. He doesn't get a point because there was more than one. It was actually two returns.
That's why I should get 1 point.
Okay, you get 1 point. All right, you get 1 point because you got one return, but there was actually two. Jake Hager returned, by the way. Or I don't know if anybody even cares about that Jake Hager returned. Kevin does not get a point. He said zero. And Albert gets 1 point because he said one. All right, so the next.
But there was two returns.
All right,
right?
So fine. What?
No, never mind. Okay, then the final?
He has one because he only said one return, too, so.
Right.
It always comes down to these damn extra credits.
All right, so the next extra credit was, what was the match that was going to main event the pay-per-view? And me, Kevin, and Albert got it right when we said Kenny Omega and Christian. For some reason, Minister put MJF versus Chris Jericho to be the main event.
Well, I mean, you know, it was like a big thing to me. It was the main reason why I fucking decided to rent this pay-per-view. I'm such a Chris Jericho mark that I'm not too sure, Christian, I'm not too sure that I wouldn't let you suck his dick. No, I'm kidding. But no, I'm such a Chris Jericho mark that, man, I wanted, if he was going to retire, which I thought it was quite possible that he would have his first retirement, you know, I wanted to witness it. And that was the main reason why I bought this pay-per-view. The second one was, you know, obviously CM Punk, and then, you know, the word that Daniel Bryan. And I suspected Adam Cole over Daniel Bryan, though. You can go back and listen to the archives last week where I mentioned that. I thought it would be Adam Cole, which it was. And I was like, oh, shit, I'm fucking right. But it turns out that wasn't even one of the questions. Would it be Adam Cole? Or would it be, you know... So we need to work on our predictions game for next time to make it a little bit more interesting. But, yeah, man, I thought it was fucking great, though. The pay-per-view was fucking great. And I want to go back and change my rating, actually, because I rated it as a 9. And the reason I rated it as a 9, you know, I really got to check myself, because it's actually on me that I rated it as a 9. I rated it a 9 because I didn't know the guys in the beginning of the card shit. And the Japanese guys and shit. Which, by the way, you know, I've schooled myself a little bit more on these guys. And man, that I can understand why Moxley is working with the Japanese guys and shit, because they're bringing in Japanese guys into the scene. And these guys are also, they're not restricted in their contracts as they are in WWE. You see, because in WWE, when these guys are working in WWE, they're a bunch of fucking puppets. When now they're working in AEW, where they have more freedom and shit. Now, I don't know how they're going to squeeze all these guys on TV and shit. And obviously, they're not all going to be on the pay-per-views and shit. Like, you saw Sammy G, okay? Who's been an intricate part of AEW as of late. were here recently, okay, but here lately he hasn't. And he was in the back. But yet at the end of that match, when Jericho won, he came out to salute his boy. And this is where those gangs come in, those cliques, those clicas, and this type of shit. You know what I mean? That's where that comes in. And so, like, AEW is a whole new thing. Where if you're not being featured on TV, you know, you're not being featured on fucking Dynamite, okay, they still have Rampage. They still have YouTube. They still have things for you to do, and they're keeping it interesting. Whereas WWE, it's a totally different fucking animal. They're not keeping it interesting. They're keeping the same fucking guys on top, whether you like it or not. And that's what they're going to do, because that's what they're going to do. That's been their proven fucking, that's been the way they've done things. And they're not going to change for you or for me.
All right.
And so at some point, we got to make a choice. And that's what I've done recently. I've made a fucking choice. AEW is the fucking way for me. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. So now we go to the final extra credit question. What was the first match? And we all don't get a point because we picked the tag title. I picked the tag title match. Minister picked Pac versus Andrade. Kevin put Punk versus Darby. And Albert also put the tag title match. So now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to find out who won the prediction game. Are you guys ready?
Tally it up.
Albert.
All right, let's see. Coming in at last place.
Shit.
Minister of Sinister with 7 points.
Not waiting. Come on.
What's the
hell do you get a fucking applause? It should be fucking boobs. Should that not be boobs?
Really?
I mean, come on. It should be boobs, right?
You're a heel. You lost. It starts cheering.
Coming in second place is a tie. And let me tell you something before I reveal the second place people, the two people who come in second place, because tonight is very historic indeed, because it's the first time ever when one of the panelists won two times in a row for a prediction game. Because the two people who tied in for 10 points is Albert and Kevin West, which means winner once again in pay-per-view prediction with 12 points, me!
You dirty bastard.
Hey, no, wait. This is Terry Funk. I just wanted to say, you yellow-bellied dog, ain't nothing worse than them. Than the lizard you rode on the back of, and the
first time of all time.
Oh,
you
drink it worse than the yellow dog, like you Christian.
I owned you all at SummerSlam.
Listen, this is the thing about it, is that Christian goes into this knowing that he has a 33% chance of winning this, because
we have 44.
Because and then I know I'm not gonna win, and so you take my percentage and you add it to Christian's, and then so now he's got a 66% chance of winning.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
and then it just comes down to spells disaster.
So what you're saying is like,
and then you throw in Kurt Angle into the mix, and that spells trouble for everybody.
I wish I had a memory, but
I owned you all at SummerScam, and I owned you all again and All Out.
Boo.
We can't win your game, Christian.
Fuck you. The Phillies suck. Eagles suck, too. Astros.
Astros. Fuck you and the Eagles.
I laugh at your tears. Boo me. Boo me, motherfuckers. I laugh at your tears. Your tears are delicious.
He revels in it.
He fucking loves it. But you know what? deep down inside, Christian,
I feel like you might
big,
have screwed
big
Albert
old baby
okay
face.
Because he's going to have Albert's going to have a retribution storyline coming up where he takes first place. And
I'm going to write three albums about this Houston screw job that Christian laid on us.
Yeah, the Houston screw job. Yeah.
The Houston screw job. I don't know what you're talking about.
Shit.
Houston didn't screw, Christian didn't screw Houston. Houston screwed Houston.
Stop it.
Oh, no.
You son of a
bitch. If it wasn't COVID, hey, if it wasn't COVID era, I'd spit in your face like Brett did.
It's fucking
beautiful.
Yeah, I
have a documentary 15 years later about it.
Yeah, we were filming it the whole time. Anyway.
Film
You guys, man, what a fucking... Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, name that tune.
Albert.
Calm down,
you got one in you, Albert? You got one in
what?
You?
I got one.
Let's go to Jimmy O'Connell on location.
Hey, it's Jimmy O'Connell. Welcome back to the show. We're gonna do this is the opportunity for welcome to Name That Tune. Welcome to Middle Boy Radio, where the points don't matter. this is Chuck's opportunity to. To stack the odds against Christian so that he doesn't come out the winner twice. Can't Christian beat the odds?
Oh my God, it's stakes so high here, Kevin.
Oh,
I don't even know how to breathe.
Is that Chad Bradwick or whatever his name was?
My name is Kirk Mahammett.
Kirk Mahammett.
Kirk Mahammett. I'm eating popcorn up again. Let's hope Christian don't take another one.
All right. Jimmy O'Connell signing off.
Okay.
Oh, hell. Who was that?
I know.
Oh, wait a minute. But we were asking Albert.
Oh, go ahead, Albert.
Heidenreich.
Wait a minute. It couldn't have been. But I'll tell you who it is. Dale.
Yeah,
called.
Dale wants to congratulate me. Pick it up.
Dale knows who it is.
Is it Dale?
Dale got his own chant going on.
Hello?
Dale, welcome to the show, Fatal Four Way Radio.
Hey, it's me, Dale. Hey, it's me, Dale, everybody. I just want to say that I'm over here. Wait, how am I calling if the show's already ended? We're on overtime. I have no idea how I got through. But
you calling
Dale?
Hold on a minute. Where the hell is that audience?
And we're off here. This year's my favorite live radio podcast, and then through the grace of God and Horace Dewormer, I'm on the show after hours, and it feels fantastic, and I'm just glad to be here with you guys. And I just want to say one thing, Christian, you're doing a great job of winning all these goddamn prediction contests and stuff like that. You deserve a reference to prediction. and as for Kevin and Ricky there, you guys just sit there and eat your beanie weenies and over there in Houston, Texas, eat your beanie weenies and shut your goddamn mouth. How about that? And you boys need to give it to Christian and Billy for being an excellent winner here. And for you, Minister, you're a terrible host. And that Albert expected whatever the hell he wants to call himself is even a horrible, more horrible panelist. And all you guys are terrible with the exception of that Christian fellow. I really like him.
Well, thank you, my good man. You have good taste.
Colorful, Dale.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dale from Rockport, Texas.
Yeah. he knows Colin when he sees one.
He does, and I'm telling you, I'm in total. I mean, like, you know, Christian from Philly, I'm confident that when I take my rightful place and still Panther, that you can lead the show, my bro. I'm confident.
Yeah,
I'm confident. Let's close ourselves out, guys. And hey, man, by the way, hell of a fucking show tonight. Oh! And you know what? We're brought to you by Pro Wrestling Planet on Facebook. So if you're listening live, or if you're not listening live, you're listening to it on the replay, which we have a bunch of listeners that do. Go and listen. Go check out Pro Wrestling Planet. Comment, like it, do whatever the hell you want. Let's communicate, and bam, let's bring this shit together. Fatal 4-Way Radio on the World Generation Podcast Network, brought to you by Pro Wrestling Planet on Facebook. Close ourselves out. Gentlemen, it's me.
Well, I'm going to say goodnight, everybody. Thank you for listening into Fatal 4-Way Radio. This is your predictions king, your world champion, Christian from Philly. I didn't screw anybody. I didn't screw Houston. Dale, sub, you know, talent. So, you know, there you go. Good night, everybody. Good night, motherfuckers.
Christian from LA. By the way, yes. And by the way, go check out the post show from AEW All Out. It had great ratings, and check it out in case you haven't done so. Do it. Now, gentlemen, what's up?
Well, it's a good show. Don't forget to go to Pro Wrestling Planet, like Chuck said, and check out storefrontier.com/PWP shop. You've got tons of merch coming out every week. And, yeah, love each other. Love wrestling. And we'll see you guys next week.
Ladies and gentlemen, Albert and Sebastian. Kevier, close yourself out, my friend.
That's right, Kevier West. If y'all haven't listened to Donda, y'all need to hit that Donda on Spotify or Apple Music or Tidal, wherever you stream your live music. YouTube is also really cool for music. It's also cool for pro wrestling. Chuck, go watch that stuff I was talking about, all the Beating the Elite.
Yes.
And then let's promote local wrestling on September 18th. Shout out to Jaime. You know, I haven't been able to be at any of the last three local shows because my band played shows on the same nights. So our last show was rescheduled to next Saturday, not this coming, but the 18th, the same night. But if you're closer and you love pro wrestling, go see local wrestling. It's going to be an awesome show, and hopefully it'll be on Title Match Network or whatever on YouTube. But aside from that, you know, the new Drake album came out too, and y'all can listen to that if you want to, but it's not as good as Donda. And I'll pass it on to Ricky.
Ricky!
Well, hey.
We got Ricky.
Now there's a person that called, there was somebody that called in and asked him for a fucking Roman Reigns shirt, and like, fuck that shit. No one likes Roman Reigns. Ever. 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 Astros won. This is your Astros analyst signing off. Ricky, Icky, Icky, Ricky.
Yeah. Icky, Icky, Ricky.
Right on, ladies and gentlemen. Ricky,
it's like Chili Willy on the Nilly with the Philly. Only.
And the Chili on the Willy, baby.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Don't worry, Jerry's going to get.
No final word. Ladies and gentlemen,
final words from Jimmy O'Connell.
Yes. And the final word is, Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us here at Fatal 4-Way Radio on the World Generation Podcast Network. I've been your host, the resident heel, Minister of Sinister for Rancho Punk Rocker Albert Inspected, Peacemaker Kevier West, and the Swami, Christian from Philly, reminding you to keep it real, keep it heel. And as always, keep it sexy, motherfuckers. Peace out.
Presentation of the World Generation Podcast Network.